Lord, what a joy it is to be here in your place, to worship you, to glorify you. As we celebrate this Labor Day weekend, we want to celebrate you today. Guide and direct us into your presence. Speak to us through your words, as you've spoken through your songs, that we may draw near to you to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody have a great week. Remember last week I told you I didn't last week? I had a good week this week. Had a really good week. Got a wedding yesterday. Went and seen my niece get married yesterday and had a great week in the beautiful mountains to see that. And then today, I'm excited. I'm really excited for several reasons. In 5 weeks, we start something that we have been practicing in this church for over 10 years. In 5 weeks, we will start our next 40-day study. Anybody remember those 40-day studies we've been doing in our church? We have this habit of trying to just 40 days get together and get on one page, on one focus, and spend some time on that. And we got just 5 weeks to get ready for that. So I'm excited about that. I always enjoy those times. And I'm really excited about this study because your teacher, you know, we've had other people videoed and everything. If things go well, your video teacher will be me. So I'm hoping that works out. We're having fun. So I'm having fun getting ready for that study. And we're going to do a study on, we're going to start a revolution. My desire is to start a revolution of serving our community. A revolution where if our church disappeared, there'd be something missing in Salida that's significant. And that's my desire. So it's a book called Servolution. So we're going to have a revolution based on servolution, and we're going to have a great time as we do that. And so as I was kind of figuring out how God would bring us all together as we prepared for it, I couldn't think of a better way to do it than do it through prayer. That in order to get ready, in order to have this time of our 40-day study, we need to spend some time praying. And so I thought for the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about prayer. And we're going to talk about what it means to pray and how do we pray. And spending time with God. And so I'm going to kind of get into it. It's a simple act, and yet sometimes it's confusing, and sometimes it's misunderstood. And so I want to, there's just power in it. There's power to heal physically, spiritually, emotionally. There's power to transform lives. There's something about prayer that does great and marvelous things. And so I want us to kind of think about that this morning. And I want us to kind of turn our attention to that this morning. But as we do, I want to make sure I give you a little verse here. It's a verse that's maybe you ought to memorize for this next 4 weeks. I don't think it's going to be too hard to memorize it, but I'm going to challenge you. This is a verse for 4 weeks, all right? Why don't you look at your little outline there? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Now, do you guys think you can memorize that in the next 5 weeks? What do you guys think? You think you can get this one? All right, that's my challenge to you. I want you to memorize this verse, and you'll see why. When I get to the end, you will see why as we wrap up our message this morning. It's really going to fit with what I'm going to challenge you with this morning. And so I want us to think about praying without ceasing, that we need to understand that God wants to talk to us, that God wants to spend time with us, that God has something to say to us, and that in order for that to happen, it's based on a relationship. That it's based on, we need a relationship with God. So I gave you little three outlines, kind of three levels of relationship. I went through these three levels. Maybe you're somewhere in one of these three. Because I went through these three levels. If you look at your little outline there, there's three levels of relationship with God. The first one I put down there is a recognition level. I could remember that there has never been a time when I didn't think there was a God. I always believed there was a God. I always knew there was a God. I never doubted there was a God. That was never part of my life. There is a God. Now, I recognized him. Did I really know him? No. I knew there was a God, but that's the extent of it. There's a God. You know, and that's kind of where I was until I was about 17 years old. Then there's this acquaintance level of knowing God. That you know God, you know who he is, but you really don't know him. You really don't know him. I was looking at pictures. Somebody gave me a book this morning of Billy Carter, Jimmy Carter's brother. And I met Jimmy Carter. I shook hands with Jimmy Carter. I've got a picture standing next to Jimmy Carter. Now, do I know Jimmy Carter? No. I'm acquainted with, would he know me from the man on the moon? No. We were an acquaintance. We know each other, but that's just a little knowledge. And then the last level I put here is intimacy. There's an intimacy level. You know, there's a closeness. There's a familiarity. There's a specialness. There's an affection. There's a love. There's an intimacy level. And so as we think about prayer this morning, I want to make sure you get a picture. Prayer dwells in that intimacy level. See, if you're running around in that recognition level, that's really hard to have prayer. You know there's a God, but, you know, because I can literally remember praying as a kid for toys. I wasn't a Christian. You know, Christmas is rolling around. God, you know I want da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I always knew there was a God, but there was nothing there. It was just a recognition. Prayer is deeper. It takes that intimate relationship. And that's what I want us to think about this one. I want you to think about that intimate relationship as you look at God and you look who God is and knowing God and how God works and what God's up to. But I want to make sure you understand something. It's your choice. What level of relationship you're at with God is your choice. You make that determination. I like the way James puts it here. Come near to God and he will come near to you. James 4:8. Come near to God, he'll come near to you. God wants to reach out to you. God wants to be there with you, to be there for you. That's who God is. I found this interesting quote this week as I was reading and preparing this. It went like this. God can do things to you, but he can't make you love him. God can make you obey him. He can make you even fear him. But he cannot make you love him. Is that true? You have to make that choice. That level of relationship you have with God is your choice. And prayer makes a significant part of that. You can't have a relationship with God without prayer. And yet prayer is, it's just kind of this misunderstood, critical part of life, but it's so misunderstood. Sometimes we treat God in prayer like a holy pinata hanging in the sky. You know, if you pray long enough and you pray hard enough, it's going to bust open and all this stuff's going to fall out on you. Anybody? You know, or you treat God like prayer like it's a magical wand a fairy has that you just wave around and there's a miracle here and a miracle here and we treat prayer like this magical wand. Or maybe we treat prayer like a genie in the bottle. You know, rub the bottle. Here pops this genie. You get three requests. Be careful what you ask for. Anybody treat prayer like? We see prayer like this. So I want to challenge us in the next 5 weeks. I want you to really think about prayer. And I found this definition and I really liked it. So I wanted to share it with you. Prayer is talking to God about what you're working on together. I like that. Prayer is not trying to inform God that, God, in case you didn't know, I need... Anybody? God, in case you're not aware of, I'm in this situation right now. Yeah. We kind of treat God like that. And I like this definition. God, we're working on this together. We're a team. We're in this intimate relationship. It's you and I, God, going through this world. And we're talking about how are we going to get through? How am I going to make it through this world successfully? How am I going to overcome those challenges? How am I going to deal with my hurts? How am I going to deal with those emotional battles? How am I going to deal with those broken relationships, God? How are we going to work through this, God? See, I want us to see prayer as this team. It's God and I attacking these little issues in life. It's God and I spending time together. See, prayer was a significant thing in the Bible. You read the Bible, you read guys over and over and over talking about prayer. You know, go back to the Garden of Eden, and it was a time when they spent time with God, right? Remember? God came looking in the garden for them and that relationship they had. We go to Abraham, and Abraham's praying, asking God to deliver a nation and negotiating. You can go on and you can read others, and you know, you read David's confession. You read Hannah praying for a child. You can read Jacob wrestling with God. And you just keep on reading. You read it in the book of Acts, you hear him praying for boldness all the time. And you can read all these things. You can hear Jesus praying for unity. See, it's these things that God wants to work together for good. You're not trying to convince God. You know, prayer isn't trying to convince God, God, I really need this. God, in case you forgot. It's you and God working on life together and trying to make things happen together and moving forward with God. And prayer is really simple. It's, you know, I was really wrestling with this, how to explain this, because I think prayer is, you know, it's just talk to God. But why do we have communication classes at college then? If talking is so easy, you know, why do we have to teach? You know, some things we have to learn. Yeah, I look at cooking. Cooking to me is real easy. Smoke detector goes off, it's done. You know, cooking, you know. Using a screw, I've had people, you know, using a screwdriver. You take a screwdriver, you put it in your hand, you know, it made to fit. Fits really well in the hand. You turn it and you work it. I've had people who didn't even know how to use a screwdriver. Yeah. But we, you know, sometimes we make things so complicated and yet they're so easy. And yet that's how we are in life. I had to do this again. I have fun doing this sometimes. Google dumb labels. Dumb labels. They are so fun. There was one, there's an aspirin, I can't remember the name of the aspirin bottle. Has on the side of the aspirin bottle, the label says this. It says aspirin on it, right? If allergic to aspirin, don't take. Duh. Yeah. I think it was Hungry Jack Light Syrup. Has a long discussion of how to warm the syrup up. And then it says, caution, bottle may be hot. There was an ice cream bar. There was this ice cream. Again, I can't remember the name of this ice cream. There's an ice cream bar, and it says on the side, it said, caution, ice cream is cold. I mean, you know, I think that's funny. You know, we read these things, and it's just kind of like, wait a minute. Yeah. But I like that. Look at right here. This is fun. Look at Luke 11:1. Once Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he stopped praying, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples. You know, we think, well, it should be that easy. Jesus is praying, just, you know. But prayer, that prayer and communication with God, you know, we have this mystical image. And we wrestle with it. And so I just want to kind of talk about that this morning, is how do we deal with this? How can we explain prayer? How do we wrestle with prayer? And so I'm just going to give you three T's. Just three T's on prayer this morning. Hopefully, we'll blow through these real quick. Get out early. You can go have an early lunch. Does that sound fair? Yeah. Maybe beat me to Velvet Creamery and I won't have to wait an hour and a half. Yeah, some people, I tell you. Yeah. But how do we deal with prayer? And I just want us to look at it. So I just boiled it down to three T's. If you're looking at this, the first one I put here is time. Time. If you're going to have a relationship, any kind of relationship, it's going to take an investment of time. Laura and I, I'm kind of glad Laura doesn't fly anymore because I don't mind driving. You know? And driving across country when you're sitting in a car with your wife for 12 hours, some communication happens. You know, you build some intimacy, you know, because we get on an airplane, she always criticizes. She's probably listening to me out there. You know, I put my earbuds in. I go to sleep on an airplane. I want to watch us take off. That's fun. 600 miles an hour down the runway. That's fun. And then up in the air, and you just go to sleep. Yeah. Yeah. But you get in the car, and you got to talk. Yeah. Is silence, anybody, is silence kind of get frustrating sometimes? You know, it's like, yeah. You got to spend time. You got to have that time together. And invest that time with one another and invest that time with each other. And as time goes by, I'm closer to God. You know what? I know God better today than I did 5 years ago. I know God better today than I knew God 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You ever wonder why people who've been Christians a long time seem to know God better than you? Could time be the answer? Time. Time has paid off, and that investment of time that we need to do and need to have in our lives, and we need to spend that time with God, that time with Jesus, and all of that. I like Peter and John. Look at what it says here. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting. They were getting together every day to pray and to spend time with God. The 3 o'clock. Just so you know, they had to do it 3 times a day. They had 3 scheduled times to pray. And I like the way, just so you know, they did their day different than us. We have morning, noon, and night. When did the Jewish calendar begin? When did the Jewish day begin? Anybody remember? Evening time. So look how they wrote this here in Psalms 55. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. See, he's saying, I spent time with God every day. At least 3 times a day, I spent time with God. I invested some time with God. I prayed every day. I want to challenge us to spend time with God. Now, when I was raising my kids, and life is busy. I think it's busier today than it was when I was a kid. You know? But we always talked about, well, you need to have quality time. If you can't have the quantity time, you want to have quality. Remember that discussion, quality and quantity time with your kids? Well, let me tell you something. That's false. Your kids want both quality and quantity time. You think Laura would get away, Laura, I don't have much time. I'm just going to give you some quality time. How long do you think that's going to last before I get, well, knocked upside the head? Yeah. It takes both that quantity and that quality time. And here's what I want to advertise and I want to challenge you with as we talk about prayer. You need to have that quality time with God. It could be in the morning. It could be in the evening. It could be in the afternoon. You know that time when you pull your Bible out and you sit there and you talk to God and you look at God's Word and you just spend some quality time with God. And you take that time. We have fancy names for it. We can call it quiet time. You can call it a devotional time. But you have this time, this quality time that you spend with God. But I also think you need to have quantity time with God. That you need to spend many times. But what was that verse? Remember that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Anybody memorize it yet? Pray without ceasing. That's quantity. Do you see that quantity time there? It's a quantity of time. And so for the next 5 weeks, I'm going to challenge you with that quantity of time. We preach a lot of time on getting your devotional time, spending time with God. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I'll tell you, if you haven't spent any time with God, take 5 minutes every morning. Just open your Bible, talk to God, and read a scripture, and build from there. But I want to challenge you with the quantity this morning. Some of you are looking at this table up here wondering what all this stuff is. These are timers. Now, some of you remember this. Several years ago, we gave out timers, and we challenged you every 60 minutes to spend 60 seconds with God. That was a challenge. And so this morning, at the end of the service, I'm going to challenge you to spend quantity time with God. That, you know, because we can go through a whole day and never think about God. Anybody? Yeah. You can go through maybe a couple of hours and not think about God. And so I want you to make sure you think about God every hour. So just put the timer in your pocket, put it in your purse, set it for an hour. Every 60 minutes it goes off, just spend 60 seconds with God. Maybe just telling God you love him. Maybe you might be in the middle of a headache. Maybe you might be in the middle of a difficult time. Whatever it is, just 60 seconds every 60 minutes with God. And I'm going to challenge you to do that over the next 5 weeks. Because I believe God can do great things if we spend time with him. I believe God can move in our hearts and in our lives if we spend time with him. That power of prayer, it's really true. And so I want to encourage you, yeah, have that quality time, but also have that quantity. I remember after we did this, I was with one of our church members, and we're walking around Disneyland, and the thing would go off. And mine would go off, or hers would go off, and we'd sit there and talk about it. It's like, well, now it's my turn, you know, and then maybe 15 minutes later, hers would go off. Yeah. And we just, while we're walking around Disneyland, we just talked to God. We didn't get off by ourselves and say, I got to go do this. Shh, be quiet. We just pray without ceasing. Yeah. And I just want to challenge you to spend time with God. We got 5 weeks to our 40-day set. And I'm going to really challenge us in our church that we need to make a difference in our community. And I think it's going to have to start with prayer to happen. And so 60 seconds every 60 minutes. I want to challenge you. So you got to take time. You want to build a relationship with God, you got to talk to God. You got to spend time with God. And let's look at the next one I put here. I wrote talk. That's the second point. The second T was talk. See, relationships require talk. It takes not just time, but you got to do something during that time. I talk. I spend time talking. You can't have a relationship without talking. How many, maybe when you were dating or going out, or maybe right now, you talk. Maybe you don't talk with your voice. Anybody ever talk with their cell phone? You know, you just... I'll text Laura sometimes. Laura, just saying hi. Anybody? Yeah. See, talking. There's something about talking that builds those relationships, that makes those relationships. And God wants to talk with us. God wants to spend time with us. I like this verse right here. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Not going to be open for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. See, God just wants to talk. He wants to spend time talking with us and just simply talking and spending time. And again, you're not informing God, you know, but it's spending time. There's needs, there's pains, there's hurts, you know, time talking. There, you know, God, I want to bless you for this. God, thank you for this. God, be gracious for this. So it's not just letting all your needs be out there, not all your pains and all your hurts out there. But sometimes talking is honoring God and being gracious to God. But spending time talking to God. But I want to make sure if we think about talking to God, it doesn't mean, well, let me illustrate it this way. If I'm driving with my wife in the car or we're going somewhere and Laura goes like this, Gary, we need to talk. What does that mean? Does that mean, Gary, you need to tell me some things? Or does that mean, like Laura, I said, Laura, I'm going to say this tomorrow. What do you think? She goes, yes, sit down, shut up, and be quiet. When your wife, now some of you guys, if you're not married yet, you need to understand this. If when your girlfriend, your wife says we need to talk, she's meaning sit down, shut up, and listen, all right? Those of who've been married, we know when our wife says we need to talk, it's like, okay, now tell me what it is. You know, they don't mean they want to hear from me, they mean I need to hear from them. Well, that's what God wants. Sometimes God wants to speak to us. I like the way it says here in Job 33. God does speak, sometimes one way, sometimes another. Even though people may not understand, God does speak. He's a God who speaks to us, but we got to listen to him. We got to tune in to him. How many times when we get done praying, we sit there and we say all our prayers, and just so you know, you don't have to end your prayer with amen. Just so you know, you don't have to end every prayer with amen. I don't. But you'll sit there and you'll talk to God and you'll say all these prayers. Then you'll say amen and you get up and you leave. And it's like God's sitting there saying, I haven't said a word yet. And God has something to say to you. Maybe an answer to your prayer. Maybe some clarification. I don't know. See, God wants to speak to us, and so often we don't hear from God. I kind of looked at it this way. Anybody here got cell phone? Anybody here got their cell phones? You got your cell phone. Anybody know what Wi-Fi is? Anybody? You know, Wi-Fi is that wireless internet stuff. Yeah. If you turned your cell phone on, and don't do it now because I'm talking. Yeah. I watch some people text. It's like, don't you? Yeah. But if you turned your cell phone on and you went to your Wi-Fi connection, you'd see a Wi-Fi connection that said CenterPoint FBC. Or you might see one that says Cisco Gary. That's mine. Yeah. And if you knew the right codes and you knew what to say, you could hook into this Wi-Fi. Am I right? In this room, there's Wi-Fi bouncing all over the place. But you got to get connected. Remember, you got to have the right numbers. You got to have the right password. No, I'm not going to tell you right now. Yeah? Because you get that right password, and you can get connected. Well, see, I think that's God. God is speaking, and it's there. But we're not connected by listening. Does that make sense? You know, it's bouncing around, it's here, God has spoken, He wants us to hear, and it's kind of like it's there. Anybody see the Wi-Fi signals bouncing off the walls? It's here. And I believe God's voice is like that. And God wants to speak to us. And he wants to hear from us. We just need to talk to God and listen. You know, I often wonder what people think. Friday night, I was going over my sermon. I had wrote it that Thursday. And I was walking down to the church to do some things Friday evening about 8 o'clock at night. And I'm walking down the street, and I'm talking to God. And I'm talking out loud, and I'm wondering, you know, people in Slida think I'm crazy, but they drive by and see me talking like this, they're going to go, what in the world? Yeah. You ever see somebody in their car talking, and it's like nobody's in the car with them? Yeah. I'll talk to God like, anybody else talk to God like that? I'll talk to God out loud. Yeah. I don't think it means I'm crazy, maybe I'm a little different. But God wants us to talk to him. God wants us to speak to him. But he wants us to listen. Communication is that two-way street. And so it's simple. Just talk to God. Just spend time with God. It takes time, and it takes talking to God. And that builds that intimacy. And that builds that relationship with God. And it moves us together. And that's what prayer is. Time and talk. And the last thing I put down, if you look at your outline, I put trust. Relationships take trust. I want to ask you, do you trust God? Do you really trust God? I'm not talking about just trusting God. You know, I think a lot of us trust God, he's going to take us to heaven. We got our salvation, we know God, we're in a personal relationship with God, Jesus lives in our life. But we don't trust God, maybe with our finances, maybe with our children, maybe with a spouse, maybe with a situation, maybe with a broken relationship. You know, it's like, yeah, we trust God spiritually, but in the day-to-day life, in the day-to-day things going on, do we trust God? Do we really trust him? That God cares and that God wants best. Look at what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and don't lean on your own understanding. Trust him. Do we really trust God? Now, I'm not just talking about going to heaven. I remember one time I was sharing with somebody, I know I'm going to heaven. You need to know that. I know without a shadow of a doubt that when I die from this place, I will be the next moment in the presence of God. I know that. There is not a doubt in my mind. I claim God's word. That's what his word says, and I believe it. Yeah. I know that. No doubt. But what about the day-to-day things when I got to get up the next morning and I got tough times and tough situations and tough circumstances? Do I really trust him? Do I trust? Look at this next verse. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I'm going to go back and fill that in for you in a minute. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I put it this way. Come before God anticipating an eagerness. That's what trust is. That you come to God and you expect God to be there. I expect God to answer my prayers. I do. Now, I don't always expect a yes answer, all right? But I expect God to answer my prayers. I expect when I sit down to pray, and I expect when I open God's word up, that God's going to speak. I expect that. You need to know something. When I walk out here, I expect God to do something. Because if God doesn't do something when I'm up here, we're in deep doo-doo. I expect that. I'm going to ask you, do you expect God, if you really trust God, you're going to expect God to do something. You're going to expect God to move. You're going to expect God to speak. You're going to expect God to bless. Even in the midst of struggles and turmoils, you can expect God to do something. Are there an eagerness? See, I think we talk a lot about trusting God, but we really don't trust God. It's like, yeah, I'm safe in God's hands, but I got to deal with this myself. Anybody ever say something like that?
Yeah.
See, I absolutely trust God because that's who he is. That's what he wants to do. Now, it doesn't always mean it's going to be my way. Like I say, I always think there's three answers to a prayer: yes, no, or wait. I always see that. I always expect God to protect me. I always expect God to take care of me. I just always expect God. Kind of goes with this next one. Come before God willing to obey. Come before God willing to obey. Are you willing to obey? When you're praying, are you already willing to obey? Are you already willing to do what God said? I remember one of the state youth conference, one of the guys got up and he's preaching. And he says, when you start to pray, say, yes, God. Now, God, what do you want me to do? Because most of us want it this way, right? God, tell me what you want to do, and then I'll decide if I want to do it. Is that how most of us want? You know, God, show me the direction, God, and then we'll go from there. Yeah. But I think the challenge is, say yes to God. As I was thinking about this, there's some songs I really enjoy. We used to sing years ago, one of the hymn books had, I Surrender All. I Surrender All, all to him I surrender. I enjoyed that song. One of the choruses we sung for a while back in the 80s, Yes, Lord, Yes, to your will and to your way. Remember those songs? You know, we'd sing, Yes, Lord, Yes, to your will and to your way. I enjoy those kind of songs. You know, you guys know my motto verse, Philippians 4:13, but I have a song, and the worship team knows one of my favorite songs. I've decided to follow Jesus. That's my favorite song. I've decided to follow. Though none go with me, I'm going. See, I'm the only one in my family that goes to church. I'm the only one in my family that knows Jesus Christ. I'm going that way. I don't care who goes with me. I'm going that way. I've said yes to God. See, I want to challenge you. Do you really trust him? Do you? I like this verse again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. See, God wants to do good things for us. God wants to bless us, and God wants to move in our midst, and God wants to touch us. He's got plans to do good things for us. Do we trust him with them? Can bad things be good things? Anybody? I went through some bad experiences. Anybody been through some bad experiences? And yet God has used those in a positive way in my life. Anybody? I think it kind of goes with what Paul was writing in Romans. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. So even bad things, even negative things, even hurtful things, even harmful things, God can use. And so I look at this, and I want you to see, can you obey God? In our midst of our prayers, do you really trust him? Do you really understand that God takes care of every day? That it's just not, I'm going to use it this way, it's just not fire insurance. I don't want to burn in hell, so you know, that you trust God every day. See, to me, this is what prayer is all about, that intimate relationship with God. It's going to take some time. You're going to have to spend some time. You're going to have to spend some time talking. And you're going to have to just trust that relationship. It's like that marriage. Laura and I are married, and we were visiting my aunt and uncle. You know, they've been married 50 years, and I was telling Laura, I've been married 38 years, and it's kind of like time flies. Anybody? Yeah. Visiting with somebody, they'd been married 60 years. We were talking with somebody, and they'd been married 60 years. And there's this trust, and there's this commitment, and there's this time that goes into this. And so I just want to challenge you. As we get ready for our 40-day study, will you take time to talk to God and to trust him? When we get ready to make a difference in Salida, because see, I believe God wants to make a, just so you know, I believe God wants to make a difference in your life and in Salida. I believe God wants to do some great and marvelous things in your life and in Salida. He put this church here for a reason. It's an exciting time. God's moving and God's doing things. Laura and I was at Target the other day, and there was a little girl there. I didn't pay much attention. There's a little girl where Laura's getting a prescription, and the little girl's pointing at me and saying, he's the pastor of the church. You know, she came to Vacation Bible School. You know, making a difference. You know, I want to challenge us. Do you trust him? Do you truly trust Him? So this next 5 weeks is a challenge. We're going to have a great time as we get ready for our 40 days. I'm getting ready. I need your prayers because I haven't shot the videos yet. And I've been getting everything, writing all the lessons down and everything. And I don't like the way I look on TV. So I don't, I don't know about you, but anybody like the picture? You ever like looking at your picture? Yeah. I don't know. So we're going to have some fun with that. But I expect some great things. I'm excited with our church and our 40 days and what God's going to do. Because we're going to talk about what God can do. But it's going to have to start with prayer. There's power in prayer. It would transform lives. It can heal the wounded, whether it's a physical wound or an emotional wound. It can mend relationships that are broken. It can change lives. Prayer is powerful. But the thing is, we got to pray. We have to pray. We have to take time. And we got to talk to God, and we got to trust His answer. It might be yes, it might be no, it might be maybe, but we got to trust His answer. And so my challenge, I got these timers here, and we're going to give an invitation in a minute. And I'm going to challenge you. If you're willing to say, I'm going to spend 60 seconds every 60 minutes, I'll take a timer. You come and get a timer. Now, if you don't want to take the challenge, don't come and get a timer. I'll take the rest back. But if you want to take the challenge, come and get a timer. 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Just that quantity of time with God. Just wherever you're at, wherever you're doing. Yeah. Driving down the road, God, help me stay patient. If it goes off when I'm driving, that's probably going to be the prayer. Yeah. I'm going to be at Disneyland during some of this time. And I'll pray. Let the line be short. Is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. I've talked to some people in our church. They pray for parking places close to the door. That's okay. Yeah. That's a talk to God wherever you're at. My thing is, as you're thinking about this, it's not saying, well, I don't know what to pray for. My thing is, whatever you're doing right then, pray about that. If you're hurting, pray about that. Maybe there's a broken relationship. Maybe there's something specific. I don't know. But I'm going to challenge you, 60 seconds every 60 minutes for 5 weeks. It'll go fast, all right? Now, you don't have to wake up at night and do it, all right? I'm going to give you grace. When you go to sleep, you don't have to worry about waking up and spending 60 seconds, all right? Every hour you wake up at night. Now, you don't have to do that. You know? But during the day, when you're out and about, 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Just time with God and talk with God and trust Him. Can you do that? Can you spend that? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you know our hearts and our minds, that you are a God who wants to talk with us. You want that intimate relationship. You say, come to you, Lord. You desire that. And we come into your presence. You know, as our heads are bowed and we're praying right now, maybe you want to feel closer. Maybe you haven't felt close to God in a while. Maybe there's just that lack of intimacy in that relationship with God. And you want me to pray for you. Just shoot your hand up. Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the lifted up hands. These are your children, Lord. They love you. And sometimes we drift. And sometimes our thoughts are drawn away. And sometimes in the busyness of life, Lord, we just seem to miss you. And so I lift these up to you, Lord, that want to draw near to you. They're coming as your word says, that if they'll draw near to you, you'll draw near to them. So, Lord, I ask you to draw into their hearts. Encourage them. Strengthen them. And above all, let them feel your presence in some mighty way today, this week. May they know that they have drawn closer to you. Through your word, through a song, through a touch from the Master's hand, Lord, that they may know that you are there. Lord, help us draw close to you. Help all of us draw close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The bottom of your page, I'm not letting you off, the bottom of your page, it says, I blank, you can put your name there. And yes, I want you to put your name there. Mine says, because I don't have a pen on me. It says, I, Gary, will talk to God for 60 seconds every 60 minutes for the next 5 weeks, trusting that God is about to do something great in my life and the life of my church, and sign it and date it. I want you to do that. I want you to make a commitment. I'm going to ask you to make that commitment. You're going to walk up here and get one of these. I'm not going to pass them out. I was going to have the ushers pass them out, but I didn't want Ernie to have to do that. I wanted you to make some move. You got to get up and come near to God. It's your choice. It's your decision. So this invitation's to you. I'm also here to pray. Whatever God leads, whatever God does, we'll just let God move. But I'm just here to sit here, stand here and pray and minister to you as God moves. But if you're willing to take the challenge and say, I will spend 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Come and get a timer. We're going to leave them up here for this couple of weeks now, and then I'll take them down because I'm out here today, and we'll see what God does. So I'm going to go ahead and give an invitation. You come as the Spirit leads, and we'll give God the glory and the honor. Would you stand as we sing? And you come.